Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast, hosted by the starting kicker of your Golden Gophers, Matthew Trickett, and me, Tony Liebert. For today's episode, we'll be reacting to the Gophers accepting an invitation to the Pinstripe Bowl on December 29th for Syracuse. We'll talk a little bit more about some transfer portal and other news around college football. I guess we'll start there with the Gophers accepting an invitation to the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl against Syracuse. I guess what was your instant reaction, the team's instant reaction when you knew you were going to New York in late December?
Yeah, I mean, after Wisconsin, you know, we're 8-4. We knew we fit somewhere in that, you know, Nashville Music City Bowl to the Charlotte Mayo Bowl. Yep. So we knew we fit somewhere in there. And, you know, there's a lot of other teams in the Big Ten with specific contracts with these bowl games, and there has to be, you know, 8 teams in 8 different years and kind of stuff like that. So we're throughout the entire last week, we're trying to slot, you know, where we would fit and whatnot. And I think for the most part, early on in the week, we kind of had an idea that we were going to go to the Pinstripe Bowl. And then yesterday is, you know, when it was officially announced and we officially got our opponent, Syracuse, and the idea of New York and Christmas in our heads. So I think everyone's excited about it. Another opportunity to play another football game in the weather that we're most comfortable with, honestly. So, you know, Syracuse plays in an indoor. We don't. So it may be new for them, but, you know, it's the good old North for us. So we're excited.
Yeah, that's – and I would imagine Syracuse is one of the only teams that – college teams that play in a dome. Because just off the top of my head, I was thinking there just can't be many of them.
Yeah, I don't recall many. You know, that's usually like an NFL team thing. But, yeah, I think – I mean, I don't know this year their schedule, you know, if they played in any cold games in the ACC. But, you know, after October starts, that's basically all we play in. So,
yeah,
we know how to deal with it. You know, it's going to be nothing really new for us. So, just a – playing in Yankee Stadium will be different. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. I feel like that obviously is a big talking point amongst fans on Twitter and stuff about the weather. Because obviously fans wanting to go to the games, they would much rather go to a game in like the Bahamas or Miami in December instead of New York. But I guess from the team's perspective, would you say you guys are excited to go to New York in December? Because people start comparing it to other bowls, like you mentioned, like the Mayo Bowl and the Music City Bowl. Are you guys like excited to go to New York and play in, I guess, such a famous stadium like Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for us, it's about two things: one, the experience of the bowl game, and two, you know, the game itself, the opponent, and the matchup, really. So the experience, I think everyone is really excited for it because not a lot of people have been to New York, for one. And then New York in late December, you know, with New Year's coming up, with Christmas, and just kind of everything that goes on in New York during that time. So people are really excited for the experience, for one. And then two, playing in a historic stadium against a good ACC opponent. You know, it's a very winnable game, and we're going to go out there and win the game.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's obviously different than other bowl games like the one in Charlotte or Nashville. You are playing in a baseball stadium, and It seems like a lot of fans on Twitter make assumptions. They're like, oh, this isn't a fun bowl game. It's cold. It's in a baseball stadium. But at least from my point of view, I feel like a bowl game, now that you've done it a few times, would be so much more, almost more about like the experience, the stuff you're doing beforehand when it's in a big city like New York around the holidays. I just feel like it would be kind of a cool experience. Obviously, I don't think many football players want to play a football game in a baseball stadium, but I feel like that's kind of just a part of the entire experience. And I feel like playing a bowl game in Yankee Stadium around Christmas time is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is going to be very different. And fun fact about me, I've actually never played in a bowl game on a football field. So it's always been some other kind of field. So I'm used to it, you know. There is differences for sure, but it provides a completely different, unique experience that not many football players get to have. So, you know, there's positives and negatives, and you can be on either side of the fence in that argument, but you know, we have to look at the positives and take it as another opportunity to go play football in late December. You know, not every team gets that opportunity. There's what, 82 bowl eligible teams, so not everyone gets that chance.
Yeah, you guys obviously played in Chase Field, right, in Arizona last year. What other, I guess, how many bowl games did you play in when you were at Kent State?
I only played in one in 2019. It was the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. And that was played in FC Dallas Stadium in Frisco, Texas. So that was on the soccer field. Yeah.
Because I they have their yeah their field's a little smaller. They might play the FCS championship there sometimes. I feel like I've heard that
Yes.
before.
Yep. They do. They've played it there.
That's interesting though. Three games not on a football field. But do you think, I guess from a kicker's perspective, it is obviously a little different for like a playing surface. Do you feel any difference, I guess, playing on a baseball field? Because I know last year there were a lot of complaints about the I don't know if it was turf or grass, but it wasn't very, I guess, clean and up to standards for a playing surface. So I guess what's that perspective like for you?
Yeah, last year was different because I believe Chase Field is turf, and then they wanted to play it on grass. So then they had to, you know, put a couple layers down to separate the turf and the grass. And when they were putting down the grass, there were just a bunch of gaps between the grass. So, you know, you could very easily lose your footing and, you know, step into one of those holes and really just throw everything off. So that wasn't really ideal for anyone, especially all the guys that, you know, got hurt in that game. They were a lot more than our team would have liked. And I can't, you know, 100% contribute that to, you know, the playing surface, but I do still think that was an issue. But I believe Yankee Stadium, I believe that is grass, and we're going to be playing on the grass. So I don't think they're going to be putting anything over top of it or anything like that. So playing, you know, on a nice even field like that should be fine. And, you know, the Raiders have played in a baseball stadium for years before. So, you know, football on a baseball field has been done and people have seen it before. So it shouldn't be anything too new.
I feel like that's kind of becoming more of a hot topic amongst football people, saying that turf, I guess, should be eliminated completely and they should only play on grass, mainly because of injuries. I guess, would you share the same sentiment on that?
I do prefer grass. You know, in every time I've played on a grass field, you know, they've been very pristine, very well kept. And turf, you can get away with, you know, so much more. You don't have to take care of it as much. And, you know, some spots can get uneven fairly quickly and whatnot. So I do prefer playing on grass. I would like to see teams start moving more to grass, but I mean, it's really hard to argue with turf because, you know, especially up north, having to take care of it in the winter months and everything like that is an extremely hard task. So you really have to look at what's feasible for who. So unless it's a, you know, NCAA or NFL like league-wide thing that they have to have grass, I don't think you're going to see it in the near future.
Yeah, that's interesting because I remember my high school football field was grass, and we were like one of the only grass fields in the area still. Now it's turf, but when I was playing, it was grass, and it was like bumpy. There were like potholes practically in the grass, but like it's fun to play on grass. But that's obviously what you give and take. But when you're playing in the at the Big Ten level or in the NFL, it's you have an entire grounds keeping crew to keep up with the field. So it's interesting, but like you said, I think Yankee Stadium's, I guess, world class enough of a stadium. I think that I would assume at least the field will be a little bit better than it was last year.
Yeah, and you know, we've watched a bunch of, not a bunch, but a few clips of, you know, the Yankee way and everything like that previously this year without even, you know, knowing what was gonna happen in the future. And you know, the Yankee way is the high class way, you know, they're always gonna do everything right, no matter, you know, the cost or anything like that. So I believe that's what we expect from them, and I think that's what they expect of themselves as well. So we have no doubt about the playing conditions or the experience. It's going to be a very well-run ball game.
Yeah, from my perspective, it seems like it would be a very fun event over the holidays. Oh, have you ever been to New York before?
Have, yes.
Do you think you're gonna, I guess, like tour the sites again, or are you just gonna go there for the bowl game? Because obviously you'll do stuff with the team, but I guess like what obviously that gets figured out a lot between now and the game, but I guess what do you think the whole week will entail from now, if you had to guess?
Yeah, if I had to guess, you know, I'm not exactly sure what events we would do because the bowl games I've been to have been a little bit further out from the big city.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had a lot more time and just like relaxed activities like going to Topgolf or just like recreational events like that, that a team can go have fun, compete, but also relax. But you know, New York City is the complete opposite of that. So I'm not exactly sure what, you know, would entail all these different activities. But typically we would get some time off to ourselves and be able to, you know, walk around a little bit and see some of the sights that there are there. So I do look forward to that with a lot of my teammates since just talking with them this past week, not a lot of them have been to New York City. So, you know, they're really excited to see all the different attractions and all the different sights that there are in New York City, especially, you know, the giant Christmas tree and ice skating and all those different sorts of things. So I've never been there around Christmas time, so it will be, I'm sure, completely different from what I remember it. But yeah, I mean, I think our staff here takes really good care of us in bowl games and everything. So if there aren't many activities, then, you know, we'll do a lot of team stuff and I think make it the best experience possible.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about bowl games. You get a guy from like North Dakota or northern Minnesota going to the big city in New York around Christmas time, and that's when you get those cool videos and stuff like that. That's what makes, I think that's what makes bowl games fun because you get experiences like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing with the bowl games is obviously the, I guess, like swag packages you get from the event. And obviously, you don't know what you're going to get this year from Bad Boy Mowers yet. But I guess you, in the past, from last year at the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, and like you said, the Texas Frisco Texas Bowl earlier, what were some of, I guess, the packages that you got from those events?
Yeah, so the first one I went to was like a gift suite, and they had like a little catalog basically of all the different items that you could get with the certain amount of points everyone got entering into it. So, there was like a drone, and let's say that was like 300 points, and that was like all the points that we had. So you could spend it all on one big thing, or you could get a couple smaller things for 100 points or 50 points, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that was that one. Each person had their own way of spending their points and whatnot. And then last year,
Did you get the drone, or did you spread it out?
I spread it out. There was a nice duffel bag, like travel duffel bag that
Yeah.
could carry a suit in there, like full, not, you wouldn't have to fold it or anything. You'd lay the suit in there fully, and then
Yeah.
you could lay stuff on top of it. It was, I still have it, still use it. It's very nice. And then some other smaller things.
Yeah.
Last year was a massage gun early, and then it was a backpack with the bowl logo on it, and then I believe a few other smaller things. So, yeah, I mean, the bowl gifts are fun. You never know what it's going to be and how you can use it to your advantage. And I mean, I don't know. It's always something that guys look forward to. We forget about it sometimes, but as you get closer to the bowl game, you're like, oh, yeah, like, I wonder what it's going to be. So I wasn't even thinking about it yet, but now that you brought it up, I'm very curious to see what it'll be.
Yeah, because I remember always seeing stuff online from bowl season. You get bowls that are like sponsored by like Sony or something, and everyone gets like a free PS5. Some of those big bowl games, they're the stuff that they get is crazy sometimes. But
Oh, yeah.
yeah, it really seems like it's just gonna be a good experience. There's just so many, I guess, Gophers fans online. We've talked about all the fans having their opinions and everything, saying that this bowl game's worse than that bowl game and blah, blah, blah. And I think at least my message to Gophers fans is just to take it how it is, obviously. I think everyone on, I don't want to speak for everyone on the team, but they're all going to enjoy the experience. It's a very unique time to be in New York around the holidays, like we said. And I think it's a good way to cap off this season.
Yeah, everyone wants to end their last year on a win. That's my goal for sure. So, I mean, I think we're going to take it seriously and go in there, and regardless of the experience, good or bad, everyone's going to be there for the game, So, fans are going to tune in on December 29th and watch the Gophers take down Syracuse Orange.
Yeah, I like it. I guess kind of now talking about some other stuff around college football. Obviously, there's no Gophers game this week, and they're playing the conference championship games. I feel like the obviously the talk of the week was the playoff and who was in, who was out. And with USC losing on Friday, it kind of opened the door for the second Big Ten team with Ohio State. Do you think the committee, I guess, got it right with the four teams? Do you think Ohio State should have been the three seed, should have been the four seed, or do you think one through four they got them right?
I think they got them right. It's tough to bump up a team that wasn't even in the conference championship two spots over, another one loss team that lost in the conference championship. So I think they got it right. There's obviously a lot of debate and, strength of schedule and all those different factors that go into it. And I saw a lot of things on Twitter about why wasn't Alabama put in there instead? And, there are there's all these different arguments, but with TCU losing after a perfect regular season, I mean that's pretty hard to keep out, in my opinion. Because then if they got kicked out of the playoff, everyone at TCU and in the Big 12 would have said, well, what if they weren't there, and we didn't get to see those matchups. So I like how they put it as well, with Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU 3, Ohio State 4, because then you get to see Big 10 against SEC and Big 10 against Big 12. So you do get to see those, top tier conference teams in a crossover game. So, people love to compare records. People love to compare literally everything in football.
Yeah.
So, that's the best comparison you can do right there. Have your best teams from each conference go against each other for the most meaningful games of the season. So I think that will settle a lot of the debate. We won't know until after the games are over and how people react, but I'm glad that they drafted it the way that they did. Either keeping TCU out or keeping Ohio State out, I think that would have been a really hard sell and possibly show a lot of bias. So I'm glad that they did what they did.
I agree with that. I think they got it right. During the game, I was kind of it's obviously an interesting argument when you think like if TCU and Alabama played, Alabama would obviously be favored to win, but I think TCU objectively has a better resume. They have I think they have five ranked wins compared to like three for Alabama. And like everyone brings up, Alabama's two losses were only by like 5 combined points or whatever, but they also had like three other one score games against I think Texas A&M and Ole Miss. So like both, I think they were comparable teams, and I think you kind of have to favor the team that made it to their conference championship. And the way that TCU lost in such a close game, they easily could have won. It was in overtime. I don't know how much you watched of that game, but that was a crazy game.
I
Max
watched that
Duncan
game.
at the end of the game. Yeah.
No, that was an incredible game by both sides.
Yeah, Max Duggan, one of the best stories I think in college football. He was I'm pretty sure he wasn't even the starter like preseason. I think he lost his job and then he got it back, and he was dealing with some like off the field issues too, and now he's arguably one of the, I guess, two best quarterbacks in the country this year. And it just, I agree with you. I think they got the four teams right. I'm kind of glad they didn't do the Michigan Ohio State in the first round. And I think it might be the first year that two Big Ten teams have made the playoff. So that's obviously a good thing for the conference too. But I think it should be two real pretty exciting games, to be honest. I think TCU's shown they can compete with the best of the best, and Ohio State's obviously shown that too. So I think it should be two intriguing games in the playoff.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I another I guess big talking point in the college football world was they officially announced that in 2 years the 12-team playoff is going to replace the 4-team playoff, and obviously, there's a lot of opinions on that. I'm kind of under the impression that I think the 12-team playoff is going to be terrific, and it's going to be very entertaining start to finish. But I think it would be a little naive to not at least say that it might dilute the regular season a little bit. It might make the games a little less important because you kind of just eliminate that factor that, for example, like Notre Dame playing Ohio State in week one. If Notre Dame loses that game now, it horribly, I guess, knocks them out of the playoff picture. They have to run the table the rest of the year. But with the 12-team playoff, they can lose one, maybe two more games. So I guess from your opinion, what's your perspective on the 12 versus 4?
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying, and just like this year, it's going to come down to the teams 13 and 14 and them arguing why they should be in and whatnot. You know, no one's ever going to be completely happy with whatever the situation is. But I do like that it allows those teams with, you know, what, two losses, maybe one loss, and then a loss in the conference championship game, those teams to get a shot at playing, you know, some of the best in another conference. Kansas State TCU game, like you already mentioned, was a great game. And, you know, I think t Kansas State looked really good and they had a lot of very good players. And, you know, the coaching was very good. So if you could see a Kansas State versus an SEC team, you know, how would that look? We see it all the time in bowl games, but, you know, every team treats bowl games a little bit differently. And sometimes you'll have your key players opting out, getting ready for the NFL, or, you know, teams just won't take it as seriously. Or, you know, there's a bunch of different factors that go into a bowl game and whatnot. So having more meaningful games at the end of the year, I think, is a great thing. I think it's really going to keep people wrapped up in college football a little bit longer. And for me, watching it in the future is going to be fantastic. Hope to see the Gophers in there one day. And, but I do see the opposite side as well. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I do think that potentially right now it does have a better feel than a four game or a four team playoff, because you never really know what can happen with, you know, potentially in the very first college football playoff, if Ohio State didn't get that four seed, then, you know, they never would have been national champions. So you don't know. It's going to add a lot of different factors into it. And all those teams that are, you know, top 25, top 12, you can see it throughout the regular season. The number one seed can lose any given week. And I'm not exactly sure how many number one overall teams there were this year, but, you know, like Tennessee, they look like the complete dominant team. What, 7, 8 weeks into the season, nobody thought that they could stop them. And then all of a sudden they lose two games and it's a completely different story. So, you know, it does give those teams the chance. And I'm always rooting for the underdogs, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, I agree with that because, like you mentioned, with teams like Kansas State and even Utah when they knocked off USC, those are teams that are peaking at the end of the year. And with the 12-team playoff, they're obviously going to have that opportunity to show they can that they're still getting better and they're playing their best football at the end of the year. And I definitely can see both sides of the argument. It just the biggest thing I think people are going to realize when it happens how much it changes the sport. Like, I don't necessarily know if it'll be for bad or for good. It's just going to completely change, I think, how teams play in the season, how I guess games are viewed in the season. Because that's kind of what makes college football now, I think, is the importance of a week one game. I don't think really any other sport has that. Like, you're starting to not necessarily be I don't want to, I guess, compare it to the NFL or pro sports, but those are sports where you just need to be peaking by the playoffs because, like, it really doesn't matter how the Golden State Warriors play in the season right now or how the even the Buffalo Bills play right now. They need to be playing their best basketball or best football at the end of the year. And I think that's kind of going to be how college football turns into. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think it's just going to be different. And it'll be interesting to see how teams handle that because it does open the door for teams like a Kansas State, like a Utah. And then you obviously even get the group of five teams like Tulane this year. And it opens the door for schools like Minnesota to have an opportunity to get in the playoff. And it just changes the sport because obviously you can, a Minnesota fan can be optimistic and say, oh, we're going to go undefeated. We're going to make the playoff this year. We're going to win the Big Ten. And that's kind of what Minnesota has to do if they want to make the playoffs. So that's obviously lofty goals, but now you can kind of think, oh, we're going to go 9-3, win the Big Ten West, and then win the Big Ten championship, and we're in. Or we're going to go 10-2 and play a close game against Ohio State, and we're in. So it definitely changes the sport, and it'll be interesting to see by, I guess, how much, because I think really what it comes down to it is if you think the 12-team playoffs excitement is better than what it takes away from the regular season, because I think at the end of the day, while those 12 through 15 seeded teams are going to have big games at the end of the year, the Tennessees and the Alabamas, if they have one loss and they're playing, if Alabama's playing Auburn last week of the year and they only got one loss, you know they're going to be in either way. So it'll be interesting, and I think it might get more fans into college football, to be honest, 'cause since it's more like pro sports, but college football's always kind of been different, so it'll be curious to see how different it makes it now.
And as you're talking, I'm just thinking about how college football is different from those other sports and how week one opponents are so much more important because of that. And that's why people love college football and whatnot, because every week matters. So I hope that even with the 12 game or 12 team playoff, that those games will still be extremely important. And it doesn't really change too much about college football because in my opinion, college football is so much more fun to watch and to follow throughout the season. And I just don't want to lose that. So I'm not exactly sure how that'll be, and we'll see in 2 years, but I think keeping the identity of college football separate from professional sports is going to be huge.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. It'll be fun to follow because I don't think it's gonna I don't think it'll really hurt college football. It'll just change it. And I guess no one knows by how much until it really happens. I one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get out of here is another big story was Deion Sanders taking the head coaching job at Colorado. Colorado's obviously a team you guys played this year. And I guess from your perspective, I was just curious if you, as obviously a player, Deion Sanders is such an interesting head coach because I feel like now college sports is almost becoming that a head coach is like a CEO of the company, and he's obviously the staff that he hires around him is very important. And I think a lot of people weren't watching Jackson State football games, so they don't know like how good of like a football coach Deion Sanders is. And I guess from your perspective, would you be, I guess, do you think he's going to be successful at Colorado? If you were a recruit, like, would you be open to going to a program like Colorado coached by Deion Sanders when it seems like there's going to be so much stuff happening off the field? It seems like he's so bought into all this new transfer portal, NIL. It seems like he might be the most like, one of the most progressive coaches in the country when it comes to that. And he's such a big personality. It just seems like such an interesting like study point of if he's going to be successful, because it's really different than any other coach in the country. And a program like Colorado that has national championship, they haven't been really good in the past 20 years, but it's gonna just be really interesting to follow, I think so.
And all credit to him. He was very successful at the FCS level. But I think in the video clip that got released on Twitter of him explaining it to his team, he was just talking about how it's not about the money or anything. He's just taking the next step forward in his own career. So I believe that's the case. And FBS football is a lot different from FCS football, and it's going to take a lot more for him to win at that stage. against a lot of great coaches over in the Pac-12. So, yeah, I mean, for me personally, I don't know if that would be the right fit for me, just because of, even in the locker room when he was talking to his team, there were a ton of cameras in there. I don't know if that's something I'd really enjoy, with, an intimate team meeting and there's just a bunch of press all around. Like, there's some things that, in my opinion, need to be kept private. And with such a big personality like Deion Sanders, I don't know how much of that would be kept private. It's always interesting to follow guys like that because they always create a story. They always create a headline. So for sure, a lot of recruits are going to like that. And I believe I saw yesterday a five-star wide receiver from IMG already committed after Dion said he was going to go there. So, I mean, changes are happening very fast. And there's no doubt that he'll be able to recruit there. It'll be interesting to see how he coaches there because, like you said, I don't think a lot of people were really watching how he coached at Jackson State. He didn't get all the, TV deals and stuff like that to be put on primetime games. So it will be different for sure in the FBS, and at a big school like Colorado, he'll get a lot of those games where people can really see what his teams are made of and how he coaches. And that'll open the doors for a lot of, critics and a lot of teams that really want to take down Colorado now simply because Deion Sanders is the coach.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun, or I guess interesting story to follow because it is just way different than how any other program is ran. Like a lot of people were talking about those team meeting videos that got released. Like I would assume those are things that happen all the time. It's just they're not on video and they don't get released to Twitter. And that's what makes him different because I think almost everything he's going to do is going to be released to Twitter.
I could definitely see that kind of being like a Hard Knocks, No Filter college football edition. Like, that's kind of how I could see this thing going. So, yeah, we'll see.
Definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we'll wrap up this week's episode there. As always, I appreciate everyone listening. Row the boat, Sky Yuma, and go Gophers.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.